Let's go to the Rumba Revolution hotline and talk to one of our favorites, Rod Bramlett, the play-by-play voice of everything Auburn. Rod, welcome back in the zone. How are you, sir?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome. We've had a good start to the season, not quite as good as you guys have had, but are you pleasantly surprised or getting what you expected so far from this Auburn team?
You know, a little bit of both. I think this Auburn team, the way they've gone about winning has been obviously thrilling, but I think in terms of the strengths and weaknesses of this team, it's kind of played out like we thought. What we didn't know going into the season was what kind of character, what kind of leadership this team would have, and what would happen when they faced adversity. Well, they've faced it in about four of the first six games and have found ways to win, so that's been very encouraging. So, you know, I don't know if everyone thought Auburn would be 6-0, ranked seventh in the country at this point. But I think the type of team that Auburn has, I think, has certainly played out kind of like folks thought.
Every year before the season, we pick who we think is going to win the national title, who's going to win the Heisman, and invariably, some dude wins the Heisman that we really hadn't thought about, like Mark Ingram last year. Nobody mentioned him, and I'm almost positive nobody mentioned Cam Newton this year. Has he caught you by surprise, or did you expect to see this kind of thing out of him?
Certainly, you know, to say – you know, yeah, you know what? I knew this kid would have the capability of running for
Say
four
it. Nobody will argue with you. Go for it.
You know, four rushing touchdowns in the first half against Kentucky, and we knew he was talented. I think everybody knew he was talented. But, again, he's a kid who never played really, and, well, certainly never started in the SEC, played a little bit of Florida, but never started in the SEC, never asked to carry the team, lead the team. So you didn't know going in what you were going to get there. So, no, it wasn't. I don't think very many people thought about it going into the season. But, you know, he certainly – I'm not saying he deserves to be at the top of the list by any means, but he certainly, based on his performance the first 6 weeks, certainly deserves to be in the discussion. I mean, he has been as much of an impact player for one team as anybody in the country. And he's a great kid, too, mm-hmm. Just a terrific kid to talk to and visit with and just talk about things non-football. I mean, he's a terrific young man.
You know, we kind of went through this with Matt Jones a few years ago. Everybody kind of knew what he was going to do, but they still weren't able to stop what he was trying to do. what do you think it is about Newton that's, you know, sort of contributed to his success? What kinds of things do you like that he does as far as his the way he plays the game?
Just his ability to run. I mean, he's got a natural he has the instinct of a talented running back in a quarterback's body. Now, don't get me wrong, Cam wants to be that true quarterback. He wants to improve his passing game. He wants to be that kind of quarterback, but he knows, you know, one of his strengths is his running ability. And he covers 5 yards in two strides, and I'm sure you guys have watched him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like he's running that fast.
Right.
He's just kind of gliding along, and then at the end of the run, I know the coaches don't like this all the time, he just as soon run over you as run around you. So, you know, just his ability to run has just – and his instinct to run. I shouldn't say his ability because he has that. But on top of that, just his natural instinct in terms of running the football. It's something you don't find very often in a quarterback.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember getting into a debate. A buddy of mine that played college football and thinks he knows everything, kind of like every other guy I know. But we debated Matt Jones, you know, and how fast he was. And he said, there's no way he runs in the 4-4 range. And I said, he does. And he didn't believe it until he went to the combine and did it. And it is. He's another one of those guys, like Newton, that just didn't look like he's moving as fast as he was.
Well, you're right. And you know, Cam has made some incredible athletic plays already in the first half of the season. And, you know, he is obviously a large part of the Auburn offense. And people, you know, Auburn's a one-man show. And certainly I don't think they'd be the team that they are without Cam Newton. But we're looking at the stat sheet after one half of play Saturday night in Kentucky and you know, thinking, wow, four rushing touchdowns, where would we be without Cam? Well, he had already thrown the ball to six different receivers,
man,
and four other guys had carried the football. Mm. So, you know, it's surely if you slow down Cam Newton, you probably do have a decent chance of you being in the game at the end. But, I mean, you know, you could probably say the same thing for Arkansas. I mean, if you're able to get pressure on Ryan Mallett and slow him down, I mean, that's the strategy. I mean, that's, you know, both sides. That's what their strategy is going to be, I think.
Yeah, they're actually working on the Wildcat this week. It's going to be really cool. Ryan Mallett's going to run it a lot, so just get ready for that. or not. Either way, the cool thing about Newton is, too, not to keep heaping praise on the guy because we're certainly hoping he has an off game, but, I mean, he's the leading rusher in the league, and he's also number one in pass efficiency, so you can't ask a lot more out of him from that perspective. You mentioned some of the other guys toting the rock for you guys, and, of course, Michael Dyer's a name that's familiar to folks around here, over 8,000 yards rushing in his illustrious high school career. He has certainly gotten off to a great start in his collegiate career, to the surprise of probably no one.
He has been solid, and they have worked him in slowly but surely, you know, and I think that's a smart thing to do. And they've done the same thing with Cam Newton, believe it or not, despite the gaudy numbers. Mm-hmm. They've really not asked Cam or Michael to do, I think, more than they're capable of at this point. Boy, he's going to be good. Somebody asked me at one of the scrimmages, you know, who does Dyer remind you of? And in the SEC, the only thing I could come up with in terms of his build was Emmitt Smith. I mean, he's just kind of built that low to the ground mm-hmm. kind of running back. You know, he's had a couple times where he's put the ball on the ground, and I think that has limited the number of carries in a few games. But, you know, there will be a game this season, and it may happen Saturday, where somebody slows down Cam Newton's running ability, and Auburn's going to have to rely on somebody else. And, you know, that's when Michael Dyer will have a chance to shine. And, you know, I think it'll happen before the end of the year.
Defensively, certainly Arkansas has been a pleasant surprise for the fans here. How would you assess the defense on Auburn's side of things through six games?
Well, you know, if you had to pick a weakness on this Auburn team, it would be on the defensive side of the football in the secondary more than anything. But what has been, I think, the key, despite saying Auburn's weakness probably is the secondary, what has been the key, I believe, in Auburn's second half comebacks has been the defensive front. They have eight guys that they can rotate. You guys look out there, second series, more than likely, there'll be nothing but backups out there on that defensive front. Mm-hmm. And that keeps everybody fresh in the second half. And Auburn's been able to put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks with just that front four without having to rush and blitz a whole lot from the linebackers or the corners. And that's been a huge key, I think, in the third and fourth quarter where Auburn's, for the most part, been able to win the line of scrimmage. It's been the depth and the strength of that defensive front. Linebackers have been solid. Secondary, I know Auburn fans are scared to death about this game because the secondary has been, they've tackled poorly at times. You know, they've had interceptions they haven't been able to hold on to. The coverage hasn't been there. That will be an area that I know Coach Petrino's looking at closely and will try to exploit.
Play-by-play voice of the Auburn Tigers, Rod Bramlett, joining us in the zone. You've been doing this a long time, Rod. Let me ask you about the Western Division specifically. Can you remember in recent years, or really at all, with four teams that, you know, not only have a shot at winning the West this deep into the season, but really have a legitimate chance to maybe make a play for the national title still?
Well, I've never seen it like this. And basically what it's come down to is kind of a round-robin tournament now.
I mean,
You know, even though Arkansas lost to Alabama, the fact they lost to South Carolina kind of evens the playing field a little bit. And, you know, this thing won't be settled till the last weekend. I really don't think so. So it's a lot of fun, and you know, it makes the next few weeks here at Auburn a lot of fun with you guys coming in this weekend and then LSU the following weekend. And, you know, I've never seen one side of this league this strong in terms of, as you say, teams that, you know, there are four of them that really, if they run the table, they're going to be right there in the.
Yeah.
In the national championship picture. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, the thing that stinks for us, and really for everybody else too, is that on a given day, Ole Miss can get you, Mississippi
absolutely.
State can get you. I mean, they're absolutely good enough to beat anybody on a given day.
Well, you're right, and that's what makes this league so tough and, you know, what makes the rest of the country so jealous. I mean, they're hoping and praying that we just beat up each other because then they can, you know, say, ah, well, you know, you got to, you know, there's the SEC. Nobody's unbeaten out of the SEC. But it's what makes it so tough, too. And I think those who really have the knowledge of the game realize that a one-loss SEC team is still – that wins a championship game, that is still deserving to be playing for the national championship. So it's unreal. And, you know, the East is down, but the West is up. And, you know, that's going to be tough. I mean, there's only going to be one team that comes out of this bunch with a shot. And, you know – Don't take your money off the Mad Hatter, that's for sure. That's all I can say. I've never seen anything to beat that in my life.
Right, let me ask you a little something off the game topic. You're doing three sports, football, basketball, baseball, correct?
That's right.
Chuck Barrett has just been announced as the basketball play-by-play guy, so he's now going to be doing three sports. How do you guys handle if the seasons overlap or if game there's a game conflict? How does that work down there?
Well, you know, at both Auburn and Arkansas, they've mastered cloning. We are fortunate. I know Chuck is very fortunate as well. I know we are here to have a couple of folks that are waiting in the wings that can help out when there's a conflict. And, you know, you'd be surprised. Between football and basketball, we may have one conflict during that time. Now, when you get into basketball, baseball, there are a lot more baseball games that you'll miss in February and early March. But, it's hard for us to be in two places at one time. But, I'm thrilled to death. Chuck is one of my favorites. I've known Chuck since I first started doing Auburn baseball back in 1993. And it's a challenge. And you better hope your marriage is on solid foundation and family life's good, because it can be real busy at times.
Have you accidentally ever had Cam Newton hitting a fadeaway three from the
corner?
Let
me tell you something.
Point?
I have a couple times when football and basketball have overlapped, said when there's a fumble, the ball's loose on the floor. I have done that a couple times. It's easy to do.
Speaking of that, what do you think of the Auburn basketball program kicking up? I guess first practice is just upon us.
Well, the big story this year for Auburn basketball is the new arena.
Right.
And to me, it reminds me of a much smaller Bud Walton in terms of how close the seats are to the floor. They're very excited about that. Tony Barbie's going to do a terrific job.
Right,
now, this
right.
year, guys, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding, because Auburn lost its best scorer and best returning big man for the year to knee injuries. They didn't get a couple recruits in. So it's going to be tough this year. But Tony
really
Barbie's
like
going to get
Lebo.
Him in.
I really like Jeff Lebo. I know it was
Let me tell you, Jeff was an outstanding person. Yeah. He was great for us to work with.
Right.
At the end of the day, he's just had a hard time getting players in here. But I tell you what, you're not going to find a much better X's and O's guy
right.
than Jeff Lebo. And he'll do a good job at East Carolina.
I thought you were going to get Charles Barkley down there.
Well, I love Charles, but I don't know if we need the pot stirred that much.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think he spent a lot of time on the broadcast apologizing for the coach's comments. It would make Nick Saban's comments this week look like child's play.
So, is that true you gave him the nickname Round Mound the Rebound?
No, that was my predecessor, Jim Fife, I tell you what. He was certainly that.
Yeah, he was.
Some things never changed. Have you ever played golf with him?
No. Although, the older I get, the closer my swing gets to looking like his.
I don't believe that for a second. Okay, let me ask you a question here right off the board a little bit. We're going to assume, we're not going to talk about the Arkansas game, but if I could give you a win in one of the remaining games, which game would you take?
Whew, that's a good question.
You got LSU at home after Arkansas, I guess.
Yeah, I think I'd have to take this next one, because if I just had to pick one, I'd pick the next one. Because, Arkansas, and fans talk about this more than the players, believe me. But Arkansas has been a thorn in Auburn's side this decade. And they have come into Auburn with Auburn favored in games and just absolutely drilled them. So I think I'd probably take this one.
Let me ask you about the coaching staff, too. I won't get into the Gene Chizik thing as much because I'm an Iowa State grad and I'm biased. So let's focus on an Arkansas guy in Gus Malzahn. We are all kind of waiting here and thinking this guy's going to be named the next head coach at whatever university at some point. Are you kind of feel that way? You've been around him some. I know you've talked to him a lot. Everybody, I think, nationally respects the job he does. Are you? Is that something you expect to happen in the not-too-distant future?
That wouldn't surprise me at all. I wouldn't be surprised if this past year he came real close to taking a couple jobs, but felt like he still had some work to do here. He wants to be a head coach. I think he'll be a good head coach. So, I think it wouldn't surprise me at all. If the right situation came up where he felt it was worth leaving Auburn, because he's in a really good situation now, I think he'd probably take advantage of it.
They're not going to name him coach in waiting or anything, are they?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard any of that.
Well, Coach Chizik hasn't been there long enough probably for that situation to be the case. Well, any chance we could get him a job before Saturday as a head coach?
I hope not.
Think?
I'm hoping that old Gus has a few tricks up his sleeve for Saturday. But, this is going to be a game where I think both teams are going to score. It's going to be which team plays the best defense. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just the bottom line this weekend, because I don't think either one of these offenses – can be completely stopped.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe some turnovers here or there, penalties in critical situations, but I think it'll rest on the shoulders of the two defensive coordinators who can dial up the best plan.
There's one thing we've learned from Gus Malzahn over the years. It's that he has more sleeves than an octopus. So I'm sure he'll bust out all his good stuff this week. Well, listen, Rod, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We appreciate it. And as you know, Pat kind of alluded to basketball already. He's always thinking basketball. But we need to get you back on when hoops rolls around, maybe.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
All right. Have a good weekend. We appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Rod.